Yes, yes, Margie, we know. The flying saucers and little green men.
They're not green, they're gray, Margie cut her off angrily. Pink, purple, blue, whatever.
The sarcasm in Angel's voice was undeniable. And then, without warning, Margie jumped up, rather nimbly for a woman who looked like she was on the wrong side of 100.
This is what I'm talking about. You mock me now, but wait until they're here with their probes and their mind control devices. Wait until they assimilate our DNA and turn us into drones and...
Margie barely had a chance to finish her sentence when... Bang! Angel pushed her. Alien Lady wasted no time in pushing her back. And soon, I was watching a live episode of Jerry Springer, and way too close for my liking. Margie was screaming something about the pyramids being transporter beacons and Tom Cruise being involved in the global conspiracy, while Angel taunted her by flashing her boobs. Even the crack addict joined in, making a strange throaty cackling sound that I assume was meant to resemble laughter and egging them on. I'd never seen anything like it before, and I crept backward, trying to retreat into a corner. I was frightened. I mean, I know what goes on in prisons. I watch Orange is the New Black. I didn't belong here. I really, really didn't belong here.
Miss Anderson, one of the guards came up to the cell and started unlocking the gate. You're free to go.
Oh, thank God. The relief was instant, and I practically threw myself out of the cell without daring to look back at my fellow inmates, who were now on the floor wrestling. I walked into the waiting area of the police station, and that's when I saw him. My stomach lurched. He looked every bit the lawyer wearing that crisp, suave black suit and clicking his expensive Mont Blanc pen impatiently. He looked up and saw me.
I've come to spring you, as they say.
He smiled at me like a Cheshire cat, and then looked at the officer behind the desk.
I'm usually the one putting them behind bars, not setting them free.
He gave a small chuckle.
Lawyer, if anyone ever needs one.
He took a card out of his pocket and slid it across the reception desk before winking at the woman. He never missed a PR opportunity, even now.
Anne.
He oozed silver-tongued charm as he sauntered up to me and then reached out and took me by the hands.
Tess and I have agreed to drop the charges. We realize that it was a bit of an emotional moment for all of us. And maybe you just lost your head a bit. But no harm done.
No harm done? What? I was stunned. I was downright offended. This was not the reaction I was expecting. Where the hell was my apology? Where the hell was the deep shame and the guilt and the relentless begging on bended knees? Tess and I? I asked with an edge of desperation in my voice. Since when is there a Tess and I? My voice went slightly quivery, and my knees seemed to follow suit. Suddenly, I didn't feel very well. Especially when I saw how he was looking at me.
Listen, Anne, let's be honest here.
He cocked his head to the side.
It hasn't been working for a while now with us. Let's be adult enough to acknowledge that. Hmm?
Another head cock. I hated that condescending tone in his voice. But, I stammered and shook my head in absolute disbelief. This was all wrong. Trev had obviously been handed the wrong script. He was on the wrong page, too, and this was definitely the wrong scene. But what about dinner at Piccolo Primi tonight? I asked.
I was going to talk about us. I was going to tell you about Tess and...
I cut him off. Yes, you were going to tell me that this is all just a terrible, horrible mistake. That it meant nothing, and then you were going to propose to me. You were going to ask me to marry you, and I was going to say yes, because we've been together for 2 years, and we love each other, and we're going to be so happy together. The words were flying out of my mouth like uncontrollable bullets. Look, I know we've been going through a rough patch lately, but I'll...